Blog Talk Radio.
From our damn radio world, this is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time and my time is shining. Say what I want to say, if you don't like it, then I'm going to say it anyway. I bring in the real.
When you go to church, you go to church. When you feel like that's who you want to be, that's who you be.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your voice, Derek Oliver. Controversial. Chaos. And chaos. Spiritual. Chaos. For your listening pleasure.
You cannot tell me, Hello. On the ideas. What you gonna say, what you wanna hear? You might take it back, and I might take it right. You might take it wrong, and I might take it right. Sit back, relax, and just chill with your bad self. Put your mouth and your pointy back on. Find a vibe for real, you got a real deal with the Derek Oliver. It's about to bring the chaos. You can come for me, what you gonna do?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Derek Oliver on Chaos Talk Radio on Blog Talk. We're here this afternoon for end time teaching questions. I want to apologize if we're having any technical difficulties out there. Hopefully that the overseer Timothy Jackson can hear me, and then Elder George Bazaar. Are you guys on the air?
I'm on here. I'm on.
Yes, sir. I'm
right. That's Elder Bazaar.
I can hear you.
And also Overseer. Okay. You guys can hear me fine? Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. We just...
Hey,
you can hear me?
How you doing, Elder Bazaar?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Good, sir.
Welcome back. Yes, sir. I can hear you. I can hear everyone.
Okay. Good. Okay. Well, we're here. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. For those that want to tune in on the internet, it is at www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or you can reach us on the phone lines at 845-277-9094, and we're going to get right into our show. If you have any questions, you just call that number, 845-277-9094, and hopefully we can get you through. And with that being said, I'm just looking at some other engineer's notes. So we're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions, and we're just going to give a recap of what you guys have been talking about until we get some callers on the line. So with that being started, we're just going to open up right now. I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer. And then I'm just going
to give
you maybe a five-minute summary of what the Lord is putting on your heart to teach today. I'm not going to say in the last days, because I believe that we are in the last days. And just to give you guys a chance to give people a rough draft of what you guys have been talking about the last couple of weeks. So with that being said, I'm just going to have a quick prayer. Father God, we just ask that you just watch over each and every one of us right now, Father God. Father God, that we're not seen, but your word is seen tonight, Father God. Father God, give the listeners an ear, Father God, and also, Father God, the ability, the power and the strength to ask questions that they may be unsure of, Father God. And Father God, I ask you to bless these two men of God, Father God, and continue to bless them, lead them, and guide them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, fellas. Amen. I'm just gonna we've been talking about it the last 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about it some more. So today, until we get some callers on, I have some questions, and I have some questions from email. But before I get into all of that, I just want to give each of you guys a chance to, in a few minutes, a summary of what you guys have been called to teach and what you've been teaching on Blog Talk the last 2 weeks. I'm going to start with you, Elder.
All right. God bless each and every one. So glad to be here on the line delivering the mail. I got something on FedEx and UPS. I got a message, amen, that's it's urgent in these days and times, because a lot of people have been misled. A lot of people take the word of God as nonchalant. A lot of people think God is asleep and he's a cripple. He's down at the nursing home trying to get around. But God sits on the throne. He is an answer prayer. And we're going to be hitting on the Antichrist, the rapture of the church. A lot of people want to know we're going to go through the rapture. Some say no, some say yeah, but I ain't worried about what some say. I know what the word of God says. And it says there that we as a church, the body of Christ, the sanctified ones, the ones that have been redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, will not be here during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is not for the church. The tribulation period is for the Jews, because the Jews have never come to the Lord as a nation. And during the time of the tribulation period, the Jews will be the last people on this planet that will preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
The church preached the gospel of grace, but the Jews are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, because they have failed God, and God said, I'm going to bring you back into the last days and let you do the 7 years of ministry on the earth to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And this is not no last chance. This is not no second chance. This is the opportunity that God's getting ready to close the gospel age as far as the church, and then he's going to bring in Israel. The Antichrist, the mark of the beast, all this is already in play. People say, I'm looking for the last days. You don't have to look no more. It's right here in our faces.
Right.
And the preachers are not expounding to the people and warning them. The seven churches of Asia Minor, the brother quoted last time we was on, there's only two churches, amen, that God said, oh, that's what I like, that's what I want. And he said, the other five, if they don't turn, repent, I'm going to remove the candlesticks. And we don't talk about the Antichrist, where is he? How do the word of God express it, where he's coming from, and how long he's going to reign, and so much more. I can't cover it all, but that's a few minutes of what we're going to talk about, redemption. Number one thing in the Bible, the centerfold of the Bible, is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ died and rose again and sent us back to the church. Without the cross, there wouldn't be no rapture. There would be nothing, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. Nobody else paid it but him. And that's the one that we are to worship. That's the one we are to honor. So the cross, and then after the cross, it's the art of living righteous and holy before God, so that you can be a benefit for the nations of the world, that you can be a benefit to the person that listens, that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And then the return of Jesus Christ is on the verge. That's what we're going to be covering a lot more, hoping to God that people will real listen, real good, not what I say.
Amen.
Not what the word of God says. May God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Brother Bizarre. Now we're going to hear from Overseer Timothy Jackson from Dallas, Texas. He's going to talk about what he's been talking about the last 2 weeks on the program, and then we're going to go from there. Go ahead.
Amen. All glory to the Most High. and to his son, Yeshua. Amen. We thank Yahweh for this blessed day. Thank him for the listeners. Thank him for Minister Derek Oliver for blessing us with this platform. We thank him for Minister Elder Bazaar for his wisdom and knowledge and bringing the message and bringing the word. And I'm grateful to be here as well. And what I've been focusing on for the past 2 weeks is the churches, due to the churches have actually been lulled to sleep. And this has been my message for 2020, even before this pandemic hit, because a lot of times people think just because of things that are going on in the world now, this is new. I've actually been teaching Revelation eschatology now for more than 10 years now, so to the church. And I actually took some courses, some studies in seminary school on eschatology. And so my call in the ministry is salvation and love. But in these last days, as we're getting close, and we are definitely in the last days, as the book of 1 John says that we are in the last days, and Paul talked about the last days, and we're almost in the end of days, which is the start of the great tribulation and the thousand-year reign, I believe. Of course, the word says no man knows the day or the hour. He says that he comes as a thief in the night. And so what we're doing, the Holy Spirit woke me up early this year and said, Tim, what are you doing? You know, preach to the people about my son is about to return. And it shocked me. It really shook me, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've been preaching salvation and love, and that's good to teach people about salvation. But, you know, I hadn't really been teaching on what the things to come. And this is what Christ, when he called John in the spirit, he told John, he said, come up hither. And John was put in the spirit, and he called him up to heaven. Is in a type of rapture way, the way that we're going to be called up to heaven. He called them up, and he showed John. He said, he told John to write. He said, write these things in a book. He told John that. And John began to write the things that Christ showed him when he saw heaven and when he saw the throne room of heaven. And he told him to write unto the seven churches and to the seven angels. And once you study and interpret the word angels, that word angels interpret to mean the overseers of the church, the leadership of the church, whether it be a pastor or elder or church board. And that's what we're doing at this day and time. We are waking up the church. We're sending the church. So if you're an overseer, a bishop, a pastor, a minister, an evangelist, a teacher, anyone that teaches the word, this needs to be the message going forward. We don't know when he's coming back. He can come back 100 years from now, 200 years from now. In fact, and no, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that, you know, I wouldn't be here. But now the way it's looking, it's a huge possibility that we might actually get to see this happen. And for believers, as I tell people and as I talk the years, I've heard people say that they're scared of Revelation. They're fearful of Revelation. Pastors and ministers won't teach on Revelation. And I tell people, Revelation is not for us to fear. Revelation is for the church. It's for us. For the body of Christ. It's about
tell the world.
It's about the Jews, the Hebrew Israelites. It's about us to tell the message. And as Minister Elder Bazaar said, the great tribulation, I believe, is not for the saints, and because of the language in the Bible, the way Paul speaks of it. Paul clarifies it. And I believe I spoke on that the last time I was on the air. We was on the air the other week, last week, how it's not for us. If we go through our tribulation now, you know, our trials and tribulations are now. And because we have chosen to follow and to be obedient and to believe and to live a righteous life, he said, I will keep you. And I believe that. And so that's my belief. That's what we've been teaching. That's what we've been focusing on. But the main thing we're trying to get people to understand where we at in time, because the church and the world has been lulled asleep through the things of this world. I don't want to take up too much, but I'll come back and hit on some more. But hey, man,
okay.
we're trying to shake you and wake you up. That's all we're trying to do, let you know where we're at.
Yeah.
Amen. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I am having difficulties. Okay. All right. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Okay. You can hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try this mic. Okay. All right. What we're going to do now, I don't want to keep starting over, but we're having difficulties. Our lines are busy, from what I'm understanding. Okay. We're going to go ahead and go right into it. So I have a couple questions for both of you, gentlemen right now. We're going to move on. And if you guys have a question, please feel free to call in at 845-277-9094. If the line is busy, keep trying to call that number back. You will be able to get in. But right now it is open, and our lines are open, and everything is good. Elder Bazaar and Overseer Jackson, a couple questions I just want to ask both of you. And I'm going to start off, and then you guys can just answer the question. One of the questions is, and I believe you were saying it, Overseer, about the pandemic, because of the virus and everything that's going on, people want to scare other people into believing that, okay, well, now we're in the last days. Since I was a little boy way back in the 80s, I've been hearing the same preaching that you two have been saying since the 80s, since the 80s. So now we have a president that's in office who's shaking up some things. We have a pandemic going on with this virus. And it just seems like, it feels like there's something in the air that's going to cause people to want to make stuff up. So knowing that we're not making none of this stuff up, or because of what's going on over the last few months, and that this is real, I guess one of the questions is, how do we know, and this isn't my question, it's just a question, how do we know that you two and what you two are preaching is the correct, is real? How do we know this isn't something that isn't made up, or something that, how can I say it? Something that you're trying to do to profit for yourself, even though you're not, you haven't said that in any of the messages, but it's just a question. How do we know, and just give the best answer you can give me. I'm on both of you to answer the question, that you guys are not profiting on some type of made-up religion.
Okay.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Elder.
Oh, okay. No, amen. You want me to answer that question first? Okay. All right. So, well, first of all, I definitely say we're not making any financial money or no money off of this. So I don't know how we would benefit in that way. As far as a name, I'm not looking for fame. I never have been. You know, when I entered the ministry, I was called. In fact, I ran the first 4 years of ministry. I didn't want to minister. And I knew back in 2000 I was called a minister, but, you know, I talked to my dad. Long story short, he kind of directed me and said, hey, son, don't run. So it's not about fame or money for me. That's not what I'm out of. I do it because I love. I do it because my Heavenly Father has saved my soul. I was saved back in 2000, a blessed thing. Even though I was raised in the church, see, people need to understand, just because you're raised in the church, just because you attend church, that's not salvation. Just because you hoop and shout and speak in tongues, that's not salvation. And so a lot of people don't even understand what salvation is. If you ask the average person, how do you become saved? How do you instruct someone to become saved? They can't answer that. So I do this because I love, because His Spirit lives in me, because He is love.
Amen.
I love you, and I don't want to see nobody lost. And it's so funny that you asked that question there, because I was just thinking today to myself, and I think this every single day. I am so glad for my mom and my dad, because they laid a foundation in my life and raised me in church. Now, though people are raised in the church, not everybody becomes saved. In fact, they go the opposite direction. I went that direction for a while, but something shook me 20 years ago and said, Tim, what are you doing? And it was the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? So I said, you know what? I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to go to the lake. I don't want to burn for all eternity. That's what my dad used to preach that. I thought to myself, yeah, I'm having fun. I'm doing good. Had a great job, living good, living in a nice area. I said, you know what? What am I doing? And I received salvation. So I do it because I love people. Now, how do people know this is not some made-up religion? Well, the only thing I can tell people who think like that, it's just like when I used to teach in churches. You know, women are our biggest supporters in churches, but the men will not ever come to church most of the time. They do, it's very sporadic. And sometimes I would get questions like from the spouse, like, you know, well, just things about what I teach. And my door is always open. I always invite men, but they're the ones who will never come to you. They'll never come to your office. They'll never come and sit and talk to you. But they have the most questions about what you teach and why you teach, but they'll never sit down man to man, face to face, and open up a book and talk to you and discuss it and see what you and learn what you know, see what you know. And so I teach love. So anyone who teaches the book, anyone who reads and studies the Bible themselves, then you should know by what I teach and what Minister Elder Bazaar teaches that is real. And so the Holy Spirit, once you have the Holy Spirit, we become one with the Most High. We are one.
Right.
I've never met this brother, Elder Bazaar, Minister Bazaar, but I've only talked to him, you know, a handful of times over the phone. And we've not ever even really talked about the Bible. But it's so funny how we both preach the same thing. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, we all
Amen.
Know that not everybody is going to agree on every single thing. I have a brother in the ministry, and me and him can talk, but because we're mature, we can agree to disagree. But there are 95 to 98% of the Bible that we agree. That's the Holy Spirit. Paul and Peter didn't agree on everything. They had a disagreement. You're not going to agree on every single thing. But this is not to scare. It's not a scare tactic. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you to wake people up. That's what we're doing, to make sure that you are ready for the return of Christ. He may not come back for 200 or 300 years. That's not the point that we're
Amen.
Making. The point we're making is make sure that you are ready. And this was the message from Christ to John. Wake up the church and tell them that they're not living right. And in the spirit, I've been shown in the spirit that the church has been lulled asleep. If you know, like I know,
mm-hmm.
we can see it on TV. We can see it. We can listen to the gospel music. Gospel artists now are having circle artists to sing with them. The Bible says have nothing to do with the world. Everybody wants to be like the world now. All you hear in church now is profit. I go to church and pastor asking for offering almost ten times in the church. Constantly passing around the offering plate. But you're not talking about salvation that much. The church has been put to sleep by entertainment. The church is so entertaining.
Yeah.
But when I don't hear the message of salvation, when I don't hear the message of love, which it talks about the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation, which is the church of love, when I don't hear people talking about the return of Christ,
that
disturbs me. That's what are we talking about in church when the pastor gets up cracking jokes in church? It's okay sometimes. If I'm coming to church and everything is funny all the time,
Foolish.
There are people here lost. Look
Foolish.
At the conditions. If you think this is a joke, if you think this is not real what we're teaching, look at our communities. We got, I'm going to tell you something, in Dallas, you can't drive probably 60 seconds or 2 or 3 minutes without seeing a church on every corner, especially in our community.
Mm-hmm.
But look at
mm-hmm.
our communities. Of course our churches have been lulled asleep. That's proof and evidence that our communities are asleep. We got our young girls out here being prostitutes. We got young men out here in prison going to jail. And we understand that it's a system set up, but that's the point that we're making because our leadership has failed us. I said this in the church with pastors. They looked at me crazy. They don't want to hear these type of messages where you call them out because they want to act like they live in a glass house, and that's not the case. And I'm not saying that I live in a glass house, but my point is speak the truth. Focus on saving people's souls, and you'll have less situations where you have our men probably going to prison, our women out here prostituting out here on the street. And I'm just speaking the truth, and that's undeniable truth when you can look at our communities, and you can go to any major city. I've been to major cities in other cities, same thing. You drive around, you turn the corner, there's a church. You go across the street, there's a church. You go down the street, 60 seconds, there's a church. But our communities are so up. That's because the rightfully divided word is not being taught. And that's the issue about churches. So, no, this is not a benefit for me. This ain't a benefit for our fame or our name. I'm not trying to care less about that because my name is written in the book of life in heaven. That's what I care about. I'm getting spiritual gifts in heaven, which are far more greater than what any man on this planet or anything that I can get on this planet or in this lifetime. So my concern is not about fame or fortune in this life. My concern is your soul saved? Because if I can teach it to a teenager and a teenager get it, how come when I try to teach it to an adult, they harden their heart? They don't want to hear the truth. Because why? They want to continue to live the life that they're living behind closed doors. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. And I'm not trying to call anyone out. I'm just simply saying this is real. If you're studying your word and you know your word, what we're saying that we're in the last days, read the Bible. In fact, let me give you scripture because I always love to give scripture because anytime somebody try to question me, and that's not a prideful thing, I show them scripture. And they walk away. They have nothing else to say because I show them scripture. Let me show you what 1 John the 2nd chapter says. It says, little children, this is verse 18, it says, little children, it's talking to the church, talking to the believers. It is the last time. If you interpret that word in the Greek time, it means days. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. He's speaking futuristic. He's prophesying that in the future, the real true Antichrist, right at the beginning of the great tribulation, is going to come on the scene. But watch what he says. He says, even now, in other words, even in his time right now today, are there many Antichrists? This is not something that's unknown. You can look on the TV, look on the and see a lot of stuff that's going on and ask yourself a question. How do we have mega churches with pastors bringing in millions of dollars a Sunday, but our community look the way it does? Come on.
Look the way it
is. It's not rocket science. You can ask these questions within yourself. I've asked them over the years and say, what's wrong with this picture here? And then though it's not their responsibility to try to get out and build up the community, we understand that. But where's the outreach to kind of mentor our younger people and to steer them more towards Christ? Where is that instead of spending money on planes and big cars and houses? And don't get me wrong, the word says that your gifts shall make room for you, meaning that, hey, if you're selling books and tapes and it brings you that, that's fine. But the point that I'm making, watch what it says. I'm finished the scripture and I'm going to be done. It says, even now are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Make no mistake about it. We say that we are in the last days. In fact, let me share this with you real quick. Paul said it best. Paul said that we are in the last days. Okay? He said that almost 2,000 years ago. What he was saying was they thought Christ, when they saw Christ ascend to heaven, they thought he was going to come back in their lifetime, but he didn't.
Right.
So Paul and them knew after a certain amount of time, okay, this is futuristic. These things are not going to happen. When he found out about the gathering together of the church, which is what we call the rapture, Christ is coming back, he knew that was far off in the future. So the point that I'm making is they called back in their time the last days. We've been in the last days for a while. Okay, this scripture was written many thousands of years ago. So he said even then that was considered the last days. We're saying now that we're leading up to the end of days. And see, the reason why people don't understand scripture because they don't take time out to study and research. When it says the end of days, it's talking about right now when the Antichrist comes on the scene. That's the end of days because the end of time is when Christ comes back and he comes back and he defeats his enemies and we're going to rule with him 1,000 years. We got pastors in the church that don't even know that Christ is going to come back and rule. We're going to rule with him 1,000 years. I was shocked to find out that pastors don't even know that. Some of these larger church pastors don't even teach that. They don't even know that. So the point that I made, hopefully I've answered your question, and sometimes I kind of go the wrong way, but hopefully I answered that question. No, I'm not out for any game. I'm not getting any money. No fame or anything. So I care about your soul. Where are you going to spend the return to?
You answered the question really well. I don't think there's no further to move forward. I'm going to just move on with Bazaar, and this is I don't want to up his alley, but again, I've heard this end time teaching. I mean, he's the one that taught me. back in the 80s when I was an adolescent. So to my teenage years, to my adult years, I've been hearing this. So when you say thank you to your parents for the foundation, you know, I go all the way back to Elder Bazaar. I don't want to make it seem like he's a god or anything, but he was over our Sunday school. He was over the youth program. And he did the end time teaching, so we had it.
Amen.
When the Sunday school teachers, it was a foundation in my father's church. That what we're talking about now, it was very important that we was instilled in us, so that we won't go far away. So when I'm gonna ask the question, Elder Bazaar, because you know, this was asked the first week we did this, and I'm just gonna bring it back up because some of the questions is coming up that I'm being asked on my email and on my phone has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to say I don't have anything to do with what you guys are teaching, but it gets into more of today's church. But Bazaar, because you've been teaching this for so long and you've been talking about the last days for so long, right now, how would you sum up? I'm just saying, how would you sum it up now compared to when you taught back? In the late 80s, what's the difference between you saying it back in the 80s compared to now? Because I remember, not going against anything that you're saying, but this is just a question someone asked me that grew up in the same way. Why is it more prevalent today than it was back in the 80s?
Lord, there's a lot of things. Oh, man, I don't know where to start at, brother. I'm going to try to clear this up because a lot of people have been blinded by Satan. Satan has blinded
the
whole church. Satan has blinded a whole lot of preachers because whenever you think, when you start thinking that you got to get paid for preaching the gospel, it's in the wrong category. And I know what scripture says. It says, don't muzzle the ox when he's treading out the corn. In other words, if a man's carrying the word of God and carrying the right word of God, and the word that he's preaching is the word of God, if he's preaching the gospel to save souls and to point them to Calvary's cross, you can't get really paid for that. But if a man needs finance to get from this point to that point without a whole lot of expenses, and Paul gave us an example. He said, out of all the churches that I set up, whoo, my God, I set up in Western and Eastern, all the churches that I set up, Ephesians and talked to Timothy and went from three missionaries' journey. And on his last journey, he went to prison. He said there was only one church that supported me in preaching the gospel. Because
Amen.
Paul was a tent maker, and he made sense to support him. That out of all the churches, only one that supported me, and that was the church of the Philippians. The Philippians church supported him in some financing. I'm not preaching for money. I'm not preaching for prosperity. I'm preaching for souls.
Amen. That's right.
I'm trying to warn people. Look, time is shorter than it ever has
Amen.
Been.
Amen.
There's a lot of Bible that if people don't know what's going on right now, that shows me and what I see, and it shows my spine. And I said, well, I got to preach this, but I don't have too much time to be on this earth. Really, I don't. And personally, I know that because all the Bible prophecies, from what Jesus spoke in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, we're all coming to a key point. And the Bible tells me that in the last day, perilous times shall come, and the Antichrist shall come. And when he comes, there's going to be a welcome committee that's going to welcome him, and that is the Jews, because the Jews now is looking for the Messiah. And I want you to get a good understanding of this. Before Jesus Christ ever steps on this earth, and the Bible tells me in Zechariah, and in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, the 14th chapter of Zechariah, he shall stand on the top of the Mount Olive. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will not come back until after the 7-year tribulation. But before Jesus Christ comes back, the Antichrist is going to come. when the Antichrist is going to come, the Jews are going to receive him as being Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me there's three temples going to be built. The first temple was built by Solomon. The second was by Herod. And the third is going to be built by the Jews in 2020. They are participating right now. They got the vessels. They got the priests. They got all the utensils in rebuilding the temple, going back to the old Judaizing Judaism, receiving the Antichrist. When they receive the Antichrist, this man's going to come on the scene before Jesus comes back, and he's going to introduce himself to the world, and the world is going to accept when he comes, especially the Jews. The Bible tells me, starting in the 19th chapter of Leviticus, about a red heifer. The Jews got the red heifer. I mean, this is Bible prophecy. The red heifer, they're going to sacrifice a red heifer, use the ashes to sprinkle the temple, to sanctify the temple, because the people have been out there in the world, so they're trying to go back to the old Judaizing thing. So now they need permission, and they're going to make a covenant with the Antichrist, which already is in place right today, because President Trump and President Trump, his son-in-law, and the Western Europe king, Philippe, which is the Antichrist, the Pope, is planning to get this thing together. So when this Antichrist comes, the Jews will say, "Yes, we want him." Just the world is in such a bad shape. It's astronomical. People don't even see it. They see the sun rising up in the morning and the birds chirping, but they don't see what's behind the scene. Satan is getting ready to take over this planet for 7 years. 7 years. And God's going to give these 7 years to the Jews, because the Jews are short of 7 years, because God said, "I'm going to deal with you for 483 years. He was cut off at the cross. He grafted the church in to the branch, and the church has been the Gentiles have been coming into the church ever since the Jews were cut off. And since the Jews were cut off, now it's time for the Jews to come back in to the fold and be grafted onto the original branch. And by that time, the Bible tells me the Gentiles will trample over Jerusalem and try to destroy Jerusalem, and this is what the Antichrist is planning to do, because when he comes, guess what he's coming on? He's coming on the peace platform. Well, how do you know, preacher? Read the 6th chapter of Revelation, the first verse. "I see a white horse." This white horse is not Jesus Christ. This white horse is the Antichrist, because the Antichrist and the devil himself is an angel of light. So he comes on a peace platform, and he says that he's Jesus Christ. He knows it gives the Jews permission to rebuild the temple. As they rebuild the temple in the middle of the tribulation period, he will go inside the temple and desecrate the temple, because Apostle Paul said, there's a time coming when he is in the temple, considering himself to be God, and he would try to take the place of God and desecrate the temple. So what I'm saying, we're living right on the edge of time of the church age, because I guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, 110%, I stake my life on it, the church will never go through the tribulation period, because the tribulation period is made for the last opportunity for the world to hear the gospel on what? On the straight plane. Not just your gospel saying, "Well, if you come up here, I'll lay your hands on you to fall out. If you send me some money and you give me this," and all these preachers got all this money hanging out their ears. They got so much money, they're filthy rich. They don't know what to do with it. They get up there and play with people's feelings you do this, God will bless you. Well, what God wants you to do, what God wants the church to do, what God wants the sisters to do is to repent. Because I've never read through the Bible where God called a man, and then after you got two preachers, they took up a collection. Go back to Moses. Go on back to Isaiah. Go to Jeremiah. Go to Amos. Go to Jonah. When if you get through, I'm going to give you an offering. There ain't no offering. No, no, ain't no offering. He said, tell them, warn them people, hey, if they don't repent in 40 days, and I'm telling America, look, if America don't repent in 40 days,
Green,
pretty, poor, rich, whatever. If you don't love your brother and look out for your brother and tell your brother the truth, my blood, your blood ain't going to be on my hand when I stand before the great God. I'm going to tell you just like it is, and that's it. God bless you.
All right. Okay. All right. I think we're on the road because you're answering questions, and you know, we're going to try to keep it moving. I'm still going to try to take a call. We're going to try to take a couple calls in a few more minutes. But I want to go to the next. I want to go to the next move of what's going on, because it is end time teaching, or you want to say the last days, and you were focusing on money. And I'm getting a lot of texts and a couple of texts and a few emails on the money issue right now, you know, because now with the coronavirus, and you got every church right now, every single church, and they brothers' churches and they cousins' churches all on social media. And now you can give money through Cash App, you give money through this, you give money, and it's like, I have my opinion, and I'm gonna give my opinion, because my opinion, I'm gonna get that a little bit later about what I think about all of that. But what do you guys think? I just want to get your question, because this is a question for both of y'all about the corona. You just really summed it up about the disease. But do you feel that the church is running and not showing unity because we're not in church, or do you think we should play it safe? Should we play it safe and keep social distancing, or should we be in church? I hope I'm answering that question right. They want to know, what do you think about, should the church be open right now, especially with they're saying that this second wave is going to be worse than the first wave, or should we be practicing safe distance? So I'm going to start with you, Overseer.
Go ahead,
sir. I'm going to start with me. Should the church be open right now?
It's just a question. Your opinion.
Okay, my best opinion. I'll say this. Something is going on. We don't know exactly what's causing people to die or become sick, because I've heard some people say that they've stayed at home and somehow they got it. So that raises a huge question to how that's even possible. I don't really go much anyway. I didn't go much before this all happened, so I can go even less now, because, again, we don't know what's really going on. And I believe last night my wife was saying something to the effect that someone that they know, or someone that goes to some church that they know, their whole household got it. I think she was even saying something, and I could, don't quote me on this, but I think she even said the baby has it or something like that. I just kind of heard her talking in the background, but something is going on. We don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if I had a church of, I guess, a couple thousand people or 10,000 people, I wouldn't recommend them to come to church if something is going on. And this is something evil. We know it's evil. We know it's not of the Most High. I don't believe so. I think this is, I believe it's a distraction to make you look left from what's actually going on the right. Because, as I said before, and I believe Minister Elder Bazaar is saying the same thing, and he said it best a while ago. He said that we are on the edge of the church being called home. And what makes this word that we're teaching now, eschatology, more prevalent than the past? It's always going to be prevalent, because we know each day we're getting closer. And all we're saying is that this should be the message to the churches. I wouldn't recommend my church to come back, because something is going on evil. If we can communicate through social media, because we're in a different day and time, we have social media to where we can still have church. If that's what you're asking, I would just have church that way. I know we have a family member. She actually has a church online now, and she's actually gotten more followers since she's been online. So this is the way I see it. Just like we're talking over the air, and we have listeners listening in, as long as the true word is going forward and we're saving souls, I'm all for it. If we can reach more people this way on social media, I'm all for it. The Bible says, well, there are two or three gathered. Well, we're two or three. We're gathered now. It may not be an actual body.
So let me ask a question. I'm gonna stop you real quick. I wanna ask a question. And this is me asking a question. Because we were talking about money and people taking up these offerings and getting all this money, and they're not even teaching what you guys are teaching. But do you feel some type of resentment because you guys are doing the hard work?
Absolutely not.
Doing the real work.
Absolutely
and ain't getting
not.
A dime. And then
absolutely
again,
not.
But you got preachers though. But the reason I want to ask this question because this is the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I see preachers who's sitting behind desks now.
Oh yeah.
Teaching. And talking all this stuff, and these people sending all this money. Now, to know the book of Revelation, and I know a little bit about the word, that's a hard book to study. And to even break it down the way you two break it down, that's pretty hard to do. And you have to be called by God because you ain't getting no money for it.
Amen.
And you know what I'm saying? For in order to bring it.
Amen.
But then again, you'll get off the air tonight. You'll get off the air in a few minutes, and you can go on social media, and you'll see what I'm talking about by preachers,
mm-hmm.
Mega preachers, some just starting up preachers, getting all this money. And then here you guys doing the hard work, the stuff that they're not even taking the time to do.
Right.
Because to me, it makes me feel a little, I got a little bit of attitude. I ain't perfect, but I want to speak on it and call it out because, and even though it's not me and not my place, but I'm still human. It just bothers me
mm-hmm.
to see men
mm-hmm.
like you and Bizarre to go to air and
mm-hmm.
then to get, and I know Bizarre because I've been knowing him longer, get kicked out of churches, don't get asked to go into churches, and at one time, and I'm just speaking the truth because I know people listening
mm-hmm.
in his hometown, we were one of the biggest churches at one point in time. And Bizarre was one of the
mm-hmm.
key figures about that. And now to see him,
mm-hmm.
and no offense, in his older age, and not get the respect
mm-hmm.
after all
mm-hmm.
the years and the many people he has taught and helped, and they may have passed on something, they left, however it may have been, and he can't even get nothing. You know what I'm saying? So if he don't have the platform... And then, and the only reason I'm saying it now, because I know people are listening now, and I just want to, you know, send a shout out to him and also you, Overseer, because they like, someone asked me the other day, what make me qualified to have these two preachers on Blog Talk? And I didn't want to answer the question because I wasn't going to answer it in a godly manner. And, you know, I said, well, first of all, my father thought enough of him to have him as an elder in his church. My father thought enough of him to have him over the youth in his church and over the Sunday school. So if he was all over that way back then, what make me think between now and then that it's going to change? But I have more respect for him. If I have a question, I know I can call. But when I see other preachers disrespect because of what he's teaching and what you're teaching,
mm-hmm.
it just bothers me. And then when we get
mm-hmm.
off the air and go back on the internet, I see all these preachers begging for money, ain't teaching nothing. That's all. I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw that out there. I didn't mean to get off on that. But since we're all having questions and answers, if people want to know, I just want to put the truth out there. And if I'm wrong, then this is the place to correct me. But I just feel that people are preaching for entertainment, if I want to feel good.
Definitely.
It's just like
definitely.
If I wanted to drink some alcohol, go to a bar, I'm going to go to a bar, drink, because that's what the purpose of it is for. And I believe the church purpose is to make people feel good. Now, when you talk about a relationship and you talk about doing things for Christ and everything ain't always about feeling good. Everything ain't always going to tickle you, but it's the truth. And a lot of people don't want to preach the truth. That's just my opinion.
Definitely.
And I didn't mean to go off into that, but I just feel, you know, because you guys are not being compensated, and every chance you guys get, and this is just coming from a personal level, you want to spread the word of God. When I talked to an overseer on my personal line, he's talking about what can he do to get the word out. What can he do to help his family get the word out?
Bizarre has always been that way. It ain't, you know, it ain't been no other type of conversation, but what can I do?
Right, all work to the Most High. Amen.
So that's my relationship with you two, and it's not a fake or phony. It's not like, okay, I'm paying you guys to do this, or you're paying me, because that came up in the conversation as well. Well, how much are they paying you to go on the air? Because we reach thousands and thousands of people. And because we reach thousands and thousands of people on the air, they wanted, well, what makes you guys qualified? And all I said, if you listen to them, it really shouldn't. You shouldn't ask the question that you're asking. You can answer it yourself by listening to them. That's what makes them qualified. People who are being led by the Lord, you can see it. You know, you don't have to show me no degrees. You don't have to show me what colleges you went or how long. All you got to do is listen. So with all that being said, I'm sorry, I didn't want to go off into that. But that's some of the things that you know, people ask. And I know since we've been doing this for 2 weeks and you guys have been teaching it, you know, I've had pastors call me and ask me, well, why you got Bizarre? Well, some of them knew that call from Ohio, knew, and I don't want to call their names out. My wife tell me, be nice, don't call their names out, is because, A, he was with my father. If my father was good enough to put him over me as a youngster, I'm just going to continue to do what my father tells me to do, what he would have wanted me to do. So that would make them qualified. And then I believe someone said it earlier in the broadcast that you two never met each other, but you guys preach the same thing.
No.
Right.
You preach the same thing. You have the same passion. Y'all in two different parts of the country. So therefore, you have to understand where that coming from. You know, I haven't known the overseer for a long time, but I know the spirit by talking to him, because all he wants to talk about is the word of God and how can he get this message across. And when he started talking about the rapture, I'm like, he's the only person I know besides Bizarre that want to go that deep.
Amen.
So this isn't an accident. I just want people to understand. It's not an accident. It's not like, you know, we just, you know, saw each other one day. This all was put together for a reason, for a specific time and place. So the last couple of nights, I think the last night I have here, you know, we had 2,200 people listening online to the broadcast. And because we have so many people listening, what make preachers upset is, well, how are you getting in a one night 2,200 people? You know, most people get that on a Sunday. We get that on a Thursday night from all over the country.
Hallelujah.
So when you hear these all things, going to the Most now they want to attack us by, are we qualified? You know, who is overseer? They want pictures of you so bad so they can try to run your name down. Compared to what they say about Bizarre. Well, you know Bizarre a little crazy. Well, they've been calling him crazy since I was a little boy.
Wow.
I'm just saying, he knows that. I know that. I'm not saying nothing that has not already been said. But at one point, he had one of the biggest youth, and he could pack the place out and was going out evangelizing. Preaching the word of God. The same thing that he's preached. His message has not changed. I'm 48, and I've been knowing Bizarre since I was an adolescent, 19 years old, and it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed.
That's
it ain't changed then. It ain't changed now. He ain't came up with no new philosophy or no new game or gimmick. His preaching is still the same, and you pretty much know what you're going to get when you get to him. So we say all these things. I just want people to understand that's listening that you guys are real men. Y'all bleed the same color. Ain't no difference in you to anybody else. The only thing that I just want to say my appreciation is you ain't getting all these I call them silly dollars that these people are giving these preachers so they can be entertained.
Right. Exactly.
Amen.
So with that being said, I'm still saying that our lines are still, we have callers, but we can't get them. We can't get them to come in. So hold on. I'm going to see if we can get a call. Hold on a second, fellas. Hold on.
Okay. All right, man.
Hello, hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there? See, I got a 614. And they're not responding. All right, let me try another one. A 313. Hello, caller. Are you there? Are we gonna move on. I don't want to. We're going to move on. So what do you guys think? About I'm getting
okay.
What do you guys think about?
Hey,
okay, I just want to move on. We're gonna try to work on these callers in the next few minutes. But what do you guys think? Or what do you guys want to do as far as the next phase? Would you two be willing to do it? Would you want to do it once a month? Or would you guys want to do something? I'm just asking. I know Overseer, you have Saturday nights and Friday nights, and Bazaar, you teach on Wednesday nights and Sundays. So moving forward, I know that takes up y'all's time, but I feel that this is important, and I like the way you guys do this. So I don't know if you would want to do it once a month and just come on and just do another tag team action the way you've been doing
long,
it
brother.
On the you said once a month is too long.
It's too urgent.
Hey, man.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's what I like.
People need to hear this. If they don't hear it, and I know the word of God. I know it well enough to eat cornbread and baked beans without choking. And I don't run over it and just pick out some scriptures.
Right.
I got a scripture to back up another scripture to back up another scripture. I got
Amen,
it down to the
right.
T. And I ain't been to no seminary. I ain't had no theologian to teach me. Because when I was calling to the ministry, I said, Lord, I want you to teach me. I want you to anoint me. I ain't gonna get up and tell me what some theologian told me. I'm gonna get on what Jesus told me, and what the Word of God said. And what I'm saying now, we can't delay this because the time is far spent. The day is almost gone.
That's right.
And if people don't hear it, they're gonna still be out there in the blunder, don't know what it is. And this is what the Word of God does. It stirs up a lot of people because they ain't never heard it like this.
That's right.
And when they start hearing, I've been in the church for 40 years. I ain't heard nothing about like that.
House ain't never said nothing about it.
I didn't know there was a millennium. I didn't know there was an antichrist. I didn't know there was
a mark
of the beast already here. They're using it right now. I didn't know the government is plotting, amen, to cause conspiracy and bring the world into one world government. I didn't know the antichrist was going to start numbing us. And you know something? I didn't know the masonry was belonged to the Illuminati's. I didn't know the Masons is devil worship. I didn't know the New World Order is on the back of a $1 bill. It's already there. The $1 bill is showing you prophecy. They already don't put it on there. It started way back at the Tower of Babel. The devil, hey man, he ain't no dummy. See, and some people think he's a dummy, but he ain't no dummy. He's smart, but he ain't smarter than God. And people today are letting these preachers preach a whole lot of trash. Get them aware, because let me tell you, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And people don't fear God no more. They don't fear God no more. If you fear God,
Amen. You
won't get into the world. If you fear going to hell, and you're scared you won't go to hell, you're going to go to the fire. And people are not going to the fire. They'll give you some seed. Well, I'm planting seed, and the only good seed you can plant is not money. The seed is the Word of God.
That's right.
And people not getting the Word of God. They get a whole bunch of jibber jabber and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck messages. They walk out the church door, don't know nothing. all did he preach? Oh, man, that boy read. What did he preach about? I don't know, but that man preached. That's what's going on. And see, this coronavirus ain't doing nothing but breaking up all these choir members and business meetings and banquets and celebrations. God said, I'm going to break it up because I want the gospel to be preached, not some kind of entertaining center. We got
Amen.
Folks in the church going to Las Vegas to gamble, take a bus, and come back from Las Vegas and lost all their money, and they can set up in the church talking about, I praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But you ain't doing nothing. You just enjoying the pleasures of sin. And I'd rather suffer the righteous than enjoy the pleasure of sin or sin. And that's what people are doing. They're trading on God, and they're backstabbing God, and they're fooling around. And when they do hear the truth, they want to go to the pastor and come stand up. I've been to the seminary, and they tell me that you really don't have to get into all that revelation. That revelation really, by the time he's a lying wonder.
Yep.
He's lying, the devil. The devil knows
yep.
He's doomed. He's headed his way down the hill, and he wants to take everybody with him. And people are letting the devil, amen, talk to their mind and their soul and their spirit and you as an excuse. I've been blessed. Now, let me tell you something. I've been blessed without but a whole lot of money. I've been blessed with health. I've been blessed with knowing how to write and divide the word of God. I've been blessed with a family. I've been blessed with the little bit I got. I've been blessed. I don't know what you want. What do you want? He says, seek ye first. Seek ye first.
Amen.
God.
That's right.
Righteousness. Not the bank account. Not your two cars in the garage. Not your airplane in the driveway. Not all this your fancy dressing and getting up there. Across the pulpit, throwing money all over the place, talking about, come on, get you some money. People going up to the office and getting money. You a line wonder. Yep, Clef Old Dollar. I don't hear him no more, though. I don't know where he at, but I don't hear him no more. You know why? God said, I'm going to shut him down. I'm shutting him down because there's not a glorifying my son and the cross that I suffered and died and gave my life. Sins of the people, and they keep on sinning, and they think they're going to heaven. But let me tell you, there's more than that. That's right. The Bible says, and they mean it. Jesus told
Nicodemus,
you must be born again. Period. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother on fire tonight.
yeah. Y'all both on fire. I just want to again appreciate both of y'all. For what y'all do and how y'all
appreciate you
help us to grow and growing. And just like I said before, you know, we had over 2,000 people last time. Oh, I think it was 2,200 last time when you two were on. And for some strange reason, you know, it seemed like every time we try to go on, I always get something always come up. If it's technical difficulties or something, because I know the devil don't want us to get out.
That's right.
And, or have the questions. And, you know, I'm one of them types of people. So when it comes, and I've learned this over the years, I'm not patient in a lot of areas. But when it comes to the word of God, I'm patient because I know
right.
the enemy. And I work with you because we can come back and ask questions any time of the week. It just happens to be Sunday. I don't have a lot of people in the studio. We have a new mic. There's a lot of things going on, not making excuses, but I know that the devil don't want people to talk.
No, he don't want that.
And they don't want certain things to get asked, but there's more than one way to do it with the emails and everything. And we can always, like I said before, Elder Bazaar is on Wednesdays from 5 to 7. I mean, 5 to 7 on from 9 to 11 on Wednesdays. I'm sorry, from 9 to 11 on Wednesdays and on Sunday 5 to 7. You can also hear the overseer on Friday night.
Amen.
At 9 at 10 o'clock, his time Central time 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern time. On Friday, and on Saturdays, you can hear him at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So they both have the format. And if you listen to what they talk about, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just them, doing it on their speed by themselves. When they're together, they push each other. And it's a better feel when
Amen.
They're together because they push each other.
Amen.
And the point is there, and you can feel it.
That's
so
right.
So I would like for them to think about doing a night together.
Definitely.
We got to put it in there. Not to interrupt any of your other nights.
All right.
Talk about it all and have you guys just do, because I think it's important that we have it. And the more, the better. And what I mean by more, I mean the more times they hear you guys, the better it will be, because it is important. It's important for the young people. It's important for everyone to hear it. And I didn't realize, and I don't always check my emails, and I'm bad at that. I'm not really a professional. I'm kind of ghetto when it comes to certain things. And when I read emails late at night, I be getting up from these pastors that I know, and it's funny because they want me to stop what I'm doing to try to tell me how to perfect what I'm doing. And I don't want to talk in numbers with Bizarre. I mean, I don't. Me and Bizarre, I very seldom tell Bizarre how many people are listening, because I know it doesn't matter, because as long as he can get the word out, if only one is listening, he has.
That's right.
I talked to this overseer times about his numbers, and when you can get thousands of people to listen on one night, to me it's amazing. I don't really, the Lord is drawing, because we're not on TV, we're not doing, and the only reason I'm getting this out there because I know that they're listening, and when they listen is when it's a good time to be able to say, I don't need their help. And I don't need to be, because they want me to charge y'all to be on the air. And that's funny, because then I'm like, well, if I was to charge them, God is going to look at me like, I didn't bless you. You're going to charge the people to hear something that's free? That don't make no sense.
Amen.
No,
but a lot
brother?
Of these pastors and bishops, that's what they want to do. And they're like, we're working together to shut people like y'all down, and I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And Bizarre, it's funny
Anti-Christ.
To me, and I'm just talking now because we're gonna have to pick this up again. But it's funny to me that when I talk to the overseer and why he say he don't go to churches, it's funny because the same reason you don't go to churches. At the end of the day, it's really the same thing. I mean,
right.
I know you go to Lordstown Baptist, but he's been a fixture in the community for decades, and I grew up, I know, and in the churches we used to go to that we fellowship with, it seems like they don't want to have him because they're doing this new gospel.
Wow.
And that new gospel don't fit in. You know, so. I don't know. I'm just here trying to do my part. And I know everyone is trying to do their part. But I'm a little, and like I said, we're going to be patient with these phone calls. But you guys talk amongst yourselves and what you want to do as far as moving forward.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for it. I mean, I think I'm like,
you know.
I'm 110 for it. 110.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we don't get a day, and we're gonna. I'm gonna come up with a name for it, and then we'll just let you guys go. 2 hours, and just however you guys feel led to do it. I would really like to do it on a Zoom, and I'm gonna work on that. And I just feel that that's what the Lord is leading me to do, Zoom and Blog Talk, so people can see. See who they're talking to.
Right.
Because Bizarre, correct me if I'm I could be wrong on this. You did say they're gonna be able to remember in hell. Am I correct?
I'm out. No, did you hear me?
I'm out. I hear you.
Are they going to be able to remember when they get there?
If they don't come to Christ, and they let Satan deceive them and say, well, this is not true, and they're looking at it, they're seeing it, they're hearing it, all the part of the last days, is all five senses that you have. You can feel it.
That's right.
You can see it. You can hear it. You can taste it. And you can
see it. That's right.
They know something getting ready to happen.
Amen.
They know, man.
So, with that being said, we want to put them on Zoom so y'all can remember this, just in case you don't make it to where we're going. You'll be able to have a forever memory of this word being taught.
Right.
And to me, when I think about it, that's kind of a dangerous thing right there. Sort of like, you know, the bus is coming. And
yep.
Well, if you miss that bus, boy, that's an awful feeling
coming.
When you miss
that's it.
When you miss a train or a bus or your flight, and it's too late and it's gone, boy.
That's it.
Can I tell you something that happened to me? I was a girl when I was in the Navy, and I had come home for a furlough. And when I came home for furlough, I was so wrapped up in her, and I thought, oh man, she's gonna be my wife when I get out of here. And I had to go back to Norfolk, Virginia. And I got my ticket. I got my bag. I'm sitting at the bus station with the ticket in my hand. I'm looking at the bus come up to the stall. I seen the people getting on the bus. And looked at it. I seen the bus back up and go. And I waited for another 15 minutes. I went up to the teller. I said, my bus come yet? She said, man, bus. I said, what? I had my mind on that girl. All wrapped up in that, in her. When I get home, when I go, I'm coming back. And I missed my bus. I had to be back the next day. The next day. My mama gave me a bag of chicken and an apple and horns and a banana. And I had to walk up to the highway, stand in the highway, 9 o'clock at night. I had to put my thumb on the road and I had to get to Pittsburgh in time enough. I was crying at the same time. Oh Lord, I don't want to get AWOL. I mean, I prayed, brother. If I had ever prayed before, I prayed. I put my thumb in the wind. And about a half an hour later, I got a ride to Pittsburgh. I got a ride to Norfolk, Virginia, right down there to my shipyard. I crawled over the fence inside the fence, got on the ship. And made it just in time. And the yeoman looked at me and said, man, you just didn't get in time. But I'll tell you, that was the worst feeling in my whole life that I ever felt. And I'm telling you right now, the one that's listening to me, whatever you do, don't miss heaven.
Amen.
Don't miss heaven. Don't
that's right.
miss it.
That's right.
Money,
that's
money
right.
is not my problem. Fame is not my problem.
Amen.
Trying to be famous is not my problem. I have no problem with that. If God called me, He called me to tell you, whoever's listening, to tell you, don't miss heaven. And if you miss heaven, guess what? In hell. I guarantee you.
Lift up your
eyes. I remember that old country preacher. I remember that elder was on the internet. He was telling me all about this Antichrist, all about this. The second coming of Jesus Christ. In hell, you remember everything you heard. There's five things you can take to hell with you. Five things you only can take to hell with you. You're going to take your eyesight. You're going to take your smell. You're going to take your taste. you gonna take your hearing? Don't go there. Whatever you do, go to Timbuktu, go jump in the outer bay of pit, go to Siberia and freeze to death. But don't go there. I'm telling you, don't go. And I'm gonna tell you now, and I know Brother Elder think the same way. I don't want no blood on my hands. I don't want no blood on my hands saying that I didn't tell you the truth.
Amen.
The Elder's telling you.
That's right.
He's telling you the word of God. He ain't making up this stuff. I'm not making up this stuff. I'm
Amen.
About 3,000 miles away from him. And that spirit, the spirit of God, since God is everywhere, amen, he's got that same mind. He's got
amen.
The same mind. And whenever God unites the brothers together, he does a perfect job. And he ain't got us on the air for us to try to get a jet plane. I don't want a jet plane.
Amen. All glory to the Most High.
I'm going to hush my mouth. Go ahead, brother.
No, amen. You good. You good. Amen.
Okay, so I don't want to, but I'm being, we're not going to be able to do no calls right now, and we're going to work on this while I can't get no calls on. But we will definitely come back. I don't want to wrap it up, but we're going to come back again next week, and we're going to do some more just talking like we're doing right now. And if we'll be able to take the calls, we can definitely be able to take the calls.
Amen.
If that's okay
Amen.
With everybody.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Elder Bazaar Overseer, again, my apologies for the calls, but we'll be back. I'll get with you guys in a little bit in the next hour or so, and we'll come up with a game plan. I just want to thank all the listeners that listen to the show, those that keep texting the emails and getting the emails together. I can get them, but it's kind of hard for me to read them on the air live. So it's not that I'm not getting them. It's hard for the way I get it to transfer it over the phone in a quickly manner. But my phone beeps every time I get the email. So I do thank you for the emails. For all those, again, that's been tuning in to listen to these two brothers, I want to say, we want to say thank you again for just listening in and being good students of the word, because you got to be a good student to hear what they're preaching.
That's right.
So with that, Overseer, I want to thank you again. Elder Bazaar, I want to thank you guys.
Brother.
Love you guys for helping Brawl Talk and Chaos for, you know, you guys bringing in the numbers on a weekly basis. I just want to say thank you. And know they ain't being paid for it. And know they ain't no mega church or no mega preachers or anything like that. So with that being said, I just want to say thank you guys. And I just want to end it on a good note. So thank you guys again. And again, we'll be back. Tomorrow, we'll have more on it tomorrow. I'll be on Facebook tomorrow and then our tomorrow show. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. This is Derek Oliver from Chaos Talk. Again, Overseer, thank you. Elder Bazaar, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Derek.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, before we shut it down, amen, I just wanted to say to everyone, you know, just like the Minister Elder Bazaar was saying, salvation is free. And a lot of the churches are not teaching the truth. And, you know, that's why I distanced myself from the church, because I got tired of going to churches and no one's teaching from the Bible. Nobody's teaching scripture. No one's rightly dividing the word. And it gets very disheartening. And not that it's about money or anything, but it's about people's souls. And so many preachers are in it for, you know, I heard somebody else say the exact same thing I was saying. They're in it for money, sex, and everything else, but to save souls for people. And that's the main reason that we're called, to save people's souls. We do it because we love
them. That's right.
It's a spiritual love, not the conditional love, not if you could put a lot of money in my account and, you know, help me out and all that type of stuff. It's not what it's about. It's spiritual love, which
no,
is
no,
what Christ
no.
did, the sacrifice that Christ
Ooh, hallelujah.
Gave us when he died on the cross. See, that's spiritual love. That's
yes,
unconditional love. No
yes,
matter how they treated him, he loved them. And this is why we preach Romans 10:9-10, And I tell people all the time, salvation is simple. See, the devil don't want you to know that salvation is,
no.
is simple. Now, I hope this is okay, brother, that I say it. I just like to open up the door to salvation before we close out, because I want people to know who are listening. The main thing we drive at home, you know, we teach them about revelation, the return of Christ, because the church is asleep. But as long as you are found worthy through faith, the Bible doesn't say nothing about works. It says over in Ephesians, the second chapter, is not by works, at least any man could boast. None of us will ever stand before the Most High and boast about what we did, because we've done nothing.
Come on now.
We have done nothing but wave the white flag and surrender. We have surrendered and gave our soul to Him, because
Amen,
why?
Brother.
We were not worthy.
Hey.
The Bible says over in Revelation, you know, John said he wept. He said the angel said that the only one that was worthy was the Lamb. Christ died for our sins.
Yes,
Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord,
yes.
Yeshua, and with thy mouth the Lord, Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 of Romans, the 10th chapter, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all it says. It's just that simple. But people are false, teaching false doctrine that you gotta climb a mountain just to be saved. They want you to do the works first. That ain't how you get saved. There's no such thing as works. You have to receive the Holy Spirit first by faith. Then by faith you have received salvation unto works. And so don't let nobody tell you that you can lose your salvation. There's so much devilish demon doctrine
now,
being taught. Amen. Amen. I just want to say that before we close. I just want to make sure that people receive this. It's free. It's salvation is free. He's already paid for that. Amen. Salvation is free. So like the elder minister said, get your tickets. Amen. Get your ticket. It's free. Amen. Get your tickets. It's free. You don't even have to pay for them. Amen. He's already paid the price. Amen. For your salvation. Amen. And you're going to receive the best gift ever, eternal life.
Eternal life.
Paul said, behold, watch this. Paul said, behold, amen, I better shut down, amen. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. That mystery is that we shall be changed, Paul said, in a twinkling. Paul said, faster than you can blink. Amen. You're going to be in heaven with him. Faster. You're going to be sitting at your desk studying, reading on your computer, in your bed, taking a shower. Amen. You're going to be doing whatever. Amen. And a twinkling of an eye, he said, you're going to be right there with him. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's all I got.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All
right. Look at that.
I don't want to get started, bro. I've been taking up that other 30 minutes.
Amen. Yeah. Now, y'all are good. But, again, just remember that, you know.
Amen. Like, he said, man, did you stop drinking? I said, no, I ain't drinking. I just changed bottles. Amen. I don't drink those. I'm living with them. Hey, did you got this? And I said, no, I just quit. I'm telling you,
amen.
I'm so glad that I'm able to be able to help somebody before I leave this planet.
Amen, that's right.
About Jesus Christ and his birth, death, and resurrection. And Brother Oliver, love you. Brother Elder, love you.
Amen. Love you too.
All right, Doc.
Love you too.
Well, we wanna just say, you know, again, if you heard that, haven't heard that saying, Romans 10:9, if you confess it, then hey, you are part of the club now. That's all you gotta do. You ain't have to give them money, you ain't have to do nothing. Just accept it. And you're in the house. We will definitely be back. You'll be looking for us tomorrow with updates of when they're coming back on. And again, Elder Bazaar, I'll be talking to you in a little bit. Overseer, I'll be talking to you in a little bit. And with that being said,
okay. Amen.
We are out. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Well,
you too, brother.
Amen.
Be blessed.
All right.
Be blessed.